Hello everyone and welcome back to Fake Show Chat. This is Ted and Joe Go Live the second. Go Live 2. Joe, are you there?
I am. We are live.
Live, as Sam would say. Yes, we are live. So, yeah, here we are with our second experiment, really. Pretty much like it was last time, to be honest. You know, I posted the link in the MeWe group. We're kind of live-ish. And if anyone wants to turn up and jump in, the instructions are in the MeWe group as to how to do that, and they can do that. So we'll see if anyone turns up. Or if it's just you and I banging on about Motorola, in which case we'll probably switch people off anyway. Just a quick note to say that Steve Nutt is joining us next week, which is great. He's going to be talking about accessibility issues, as he usually does on the show. And it's usually really, really interesting what he's got to say. So watch out for that one. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website. Two S's in the middle, don't forget that. I'm going to say that every time, aren't I?
You're going to have to, yeah.
And, yeah, the MeWe group is where we hang out, so do come and join us there, mainly where we hang out. Do come and join us there. Let's get some feedback from said MeWe group to kick us off, and this one is from AJ Santos. Phone tech finally plateaued, he says. Last month, I upgraded my phone from my trusty Google 6 to the Pixel 10. Sorry, the Pixel 6 to the Pixel 10. That's a four-generation leap, and I expected that to translate to a substantial improvement. I was disappointed to feel almost no difference in day-to-day use, leaving me wondering whether phone tech has finally plateaued. Take the case of a moderate-use phone owner whose device is 4 or 5 years old and functioning fine, but there's still a temptation to upgrade. I guess that we might have the reasonable expectation that the 2026 equivalent of a 2022 phone would be a tangible improvement, or perhaps still have the memory of when an upgrade meant mind-blowing advances in technology. I think to some degree it has, AJ, because we have, well, a lot of us here have lived through the days of 2007 onwards, really, with the evolution, particularly of Android, but also of iOS as well, but particularly of Android, where so many OEM developers were out there trying stuff and testing stuff and having a go, and it was just an exciting nearly 20 years, which is it feels like it's now got to the point where you're quite right. Your older phone is good enough. What do you reckon, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. So, like, even like with chipsets, we're at a point where mid-range devices are really adequate now for most people's use case. And you don't see a big difference in the mid-range chipset to old flagship chipsets. So, yeah, it has plateaued a bit. I mean, I've said this with my reviews. You really have to find things that are quite unique in a device or what it does really well to put into your review. Otherwise, they're very much the same, aren't they, one review to another?
Well, what would you say the biggest part of that is? Probably cameras, is it?
Yeah, I think we've just got where the tech's gone. It's accelerated at such a speed, and then it's slowed down now because... There's like laws of physics as well, which Steve's mentioned many times, like with the cameras. There's only so far you can even go with that, isn't there? And that's why AI has become the big thing now, because that's what differentiates the devices.
Although Leica Lights would argue the point, I suppose. They'll say that they're innovating with the 1-inch sensor and the tech that's in the phone, but you know, to be fair, there was a Panasonic phone years ago with a one-inch sensor in it, wasn't there?
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that I have noticed that has evolved, and probably still is evolving, is the quality of the speakers. You know, I was testing the signature, the Motorola signature this week against what I think, in my arsenal anyway, is the best speaker phone, which is the Pixel Fold at the moment. And, you know, I put them against each other, and the signature is significantly better. And I honestly thought that the Fold was really, really good. Before that, I thought that the Sony phones were really good, and the quality is good, but they're not as loud, and I think that the speakers are still improving year on year, device on device, and as I say, the Motorola one I was just very impressed with when I did that testing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Ted, actually, because I think the Honor devices do really well with their speakers as well, and like you say, the signature is excellent, and that's in a really thin body as well, which normally would have an effect on the speakers, wouldn't it? So yeah, that's some really good engineering there.
I think one of the ways in which they've improved it is by having a top and bottom firing speaker, and moving away from the top speaker firing out of the earpiece. I think it does make a difference. It certainly makes a difference to the soundstage and the stereo effect. But it is more than that. It's really good. And I'm very impressed with the signature so far. Anyway, we might have time to come to that later, depending on if anyone pops in and sidetracks us or not.
mates or not, yeah.
But, yeah. But in the meantime, we've got a question that Steve Litchfield sent in. Do you want to read that?
Yeah. So he says, he's talking about PSC photo rules. It's quite a good question, actually. So is PSC photos designed for artistic photographers, for photographs rather, taken with phones? So you're judging the art and the composition and so forth. Or is it technical demo of what the phone's camera can do, which is why we quote the phone used each time? Or is it, as he says, maybe a combination of the two? You have the artistic pleasing photograph that's also a good technical demo, which is why again you quote the settings and the phone used. I think that the middle setting, that middle combination, art and technical specifications, is a kind of the sweet spot, but a clarification from Ted and Joe on this would be great. What do you think, Ted?
I think that Steve has reacted to me teasing him. I'm really sorry, Steve, but Steve posted a picture in the group of another picture of a plane flying across a blue sky, and I wouldn't have said anything except that he apologized to me. He said, sorry Ted, this will be the last one, blah 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 blah. So I took the opportunity of jumping in and teasing him and saying I'd much rather see a picture of a plane flying through the sky than a family snapshot photograph of that dog again, his dog, or any dog, you know, really. Because a few days previously, he posted this picture of a dog, which we've seen 100 times. And to my mind, it wasn't in any way artistic. It was just a picture of a dog laying in the sun. But I was just teasing him about that, really. We started off saying that the trouble is that it's art, and art, people's different ideas about art is different because it's art. We did have a discussion about this in the group quite recently, and I was told basically to back off, which I have done. I haven't tried to criticise or say to anyone they're doing anything wrong or anything at all. I've just been kind of keeping my gob shut and letting people post what they like, pretty much, because people said that's what they wanted, and if it ends up with a bunch of snapshots of family photographs, then okay, so it does, I suppose. It begs the question about what is art and what is not art, and what is not art. One of the things that we did say at the outset was that if you're going to be just assessing the technicalities of a phone's camera, then you should really do that in the PSE group, because it's not to do with art. It's not a feeder for the competitions we run. The PSC Photos group was really about, you know, feeding the competitions we run. But I'm not saying it's only for that. It's just that it's a woolly area, and I don't know. And as I say, I was told to back off. And this wouldn't have come up if I hadn't teased Steve. So sorry, Steve. I obviously wasn't keeping my gob as shut as I should have done.
I think the rules are clear that, like you say, the technical standpoint, it's more meant to be done in the main group, isn't it? But I think the subjectivity around what's art is what makes it a grey area. So if you think it's art, then post it.
I guess
that's the answer, isn't it?
I suppose so.
As long as that's your main intention, if there's a middle ground and it's got some good technical ability as well, that's great.
I think that was Steve's point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The middle ground.
I think the main reason for posting needs to be the art, though, really.
Ah, we agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've now set up the opened up the chat in PSC Photos, haven't we? So people can drop images in there and discuss technical ability in there, perhaps.
Yes, that's another option.
I mean, it was quite good, though. Someone posted, I can't remember who it was now, and you said this needs to go in the main group. It's too good to just be in the chat.
Yeah.
So it can go the other way.
Yeah, that's true. That was a picture of... And actually, it turned out that person had mistakenly put it in the wrong place, because he responded by saying, oops, I didn't mean to put it in there.
Lucky you said something then, yeah.
So, anyway, sorry, Steve. I'll try and keep my gob shut and let people do what they like.
You bully.
Right. Anything more on feedback from... that standpoint?
The only thing I was going to say is probably more on the Google point. It probably plateaued the most, I'd say, because hardware, they've not done a great deal, have they, from the 6 to the 10? Not massive leaps, is there, in camera tech and that. So I think probably you don't notice much there. But there is some great stuff they're doing with their software. I think if AJ Santos goes deeper into the software, you might find some bits and bobs that he likes. Although they do backport it a lot of stuff, don't they? So, yeah.
Depending on how into AI you are, I suppose, or not.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the, again, taking Motorola as an example here, that, you know, a lot of the stuff, if you start digging around under the surface with Motorola, there's huge amounts of AI going on. There's, for example, they install Perplexity in the thing. They also put Copilot in the thing. They've also got baked in Gemini in the thing. And any of those can be used via the hardware buttons, if you've got hardware buttons on your Moto. So that's three options you've got, each of which have got to be signed into. And, of course, they want money from you to use them. To use them beyond the basics. There's a big AI thing, obviously.
There's even Moto AI as well, isn't there? There's some bits and bobs in there.
I forgot about that. That's the fourth one, then.
Yeah.
We'll come to Motorola, I'm sure, later.
No doubt.
But in the meantime, let's talk about a bit about the news. What's in the news? TCL is upgrading its easy on the eyes, glare-free next paper display with tech with AMOLED. Now, one of the advantages I thought that the Next Paper displays had on the two phones that I've had from them is that it's not AMOLED, and it feels like it's a papery display. It feels muted. It's all about reflection-free and easy on the eyes and swapping it. Now, if they decide to make an AMOLED one, I don't know that if the... I don't know what you think, but it feels like what they're trying to do is make it look like an AMOLED display and not like the next paper it has become. And actually, I think it's quite good.
Yeah, I agree, to be honest, because what makes that device really special is the feel of it and the non-reflective sort of coating it seems to have. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they can keep that with an AMOLED tech in there... then great, but yeah, I hope that's not gone. Because it is really nice.
It's silky when you run your finger over the screen.
It's beautiful.
It's like I know that it's a piece of glass with layers over the top. So basically, it's like a screensaver, I suppose. But it's so smooth to touch. You do, I don't know when, because you had a borrow of the 50 Pro, and I did find that I had to press harder on it. So it's not smooth. I mean, maybe one of the things they want to do is with the AMOLED is to make it so that it's more touch responsive, because you do have to press a little bit harder, don't you?
Yeah, you do, but not. I didn't find it a big issue for me, to be honest, because I take that over the smoothness. I mean, if I could buy that a screen protector like that for any other phone, I would.
I think you can, can't you?
Not the same. Won't be the same, would it?
No, probably not. Mm. Probably not. Well, it certainly wouldn't be as clever in terms of the layers that they put into the next paper. Mm. It does work really well, and I do like it. I'm sending these two next paper phones over to Gareth Williams next. They're doing the rounds.
Interesting.
I was trying to sell one or both of them, and nobody wants them. So I thought, right, I'll move them around the community and let people have a go. Of course, we've got the 70 arriving any second, which is going
to
be...
Oh, Mark's joining us.
Yeah,
Ted.
That's cool. Hang on a minute. We'll just finish what we're saying. Oh, yep. Too late. He's in. Hello.
Too late. I'm in.
Hey. Going? Hello, Mark.
Hey, how are you doing, Ted?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. That's a famous saying from somewhere.
I've been here before, I swear.
TCL and NextPaper. And have you ever had hands-on with a NextPaper device?
Nope, I have not. No, it's I like the idea of it. It's the e-paper one, isn't it?
It's kind of e-paper-like experience, but it's not e-paper. It's actually an LCD display with clever kind of layers across the top of it, which we were just saying is really silky smooth, and it's lovely to touch. But the strength of the system is also that you've got this mode switch, a display mode switch, which switches between, I'm not going to remember what they're called now, but basically the ordinary LCD mode, the color muted LCD mode, and the mono Max Ink, is it Joe? Max Ink?
Yeah, Max Ink, yeah, something like that.
And you can, of course, make the battery last forever if you turn it down into those modes. It is quite a good fun device. So there's a lot to be said for it. But, I'll have a try.
No, I never used one.
You might. Well, I was just saying that I'm about to send mine round the circuit, so perhaps you'll be on the circuit and get to play with one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, send it on the circuit. It's not. I've been spending too much money again.
Right. The next item on the news is OnePlus 15T, the compact phone from OnePlus, which has been announced for some time now, but it just hasn't quite got out there yet. What phone are you using, Mark, at the moment?
What happened? I'm back using the iPhone Air, because I have Motorola. Well, I've still got the Motorola Edge 70, but I've sidelined that now.
Okay.
It has issues, so I'm back with the iPhone Air.
Okay. Oh, we'll talk about that in a bit then.
I got rid of the Unihertz Titan 2 last week, or the week before. Flogged that to someone. Uh-huh. Chucked a coffee your way, Ted, like I do.
Yeah, well done.
I think, what else can I spend my money on?
Yeah. So, no experience with OnePlus, at least not recently. The 15...
I had the OnePlus 12, OnePlus 13. I wanted the 15, but I don't know if they're having trouble flogging them in the UK. Because on Amazon, they're all over the place. They wasn't on there for a while, then they was, then they're back off again, then I think they're on again now.
Okay.
It's funny you say that. I saw some news yesterday that they might not be in Europe and the UK quite soon.
I saw that as well.
Sad news. When I had the 13, I think I bought three 13s. I had one, flogged it, bought another one, flogged it, then I bought another one, flogged it. It's like, oh. So I really wanted the 15. I was waiting for it to come down on a sale on Amazon.
But the 15,
yeah, it's, when I was going to bite the bullet, it wasn't there.
But the 15 is the big one. This one that we're talking about here is the 15T, which I think is much more interesting because it's compact. I think it's 6.3. Let's see if I can find the specs. 6.3 inches, I think it is. And it's just like, you know, it's basically the size of the Pixel 9 or Pixel 10. And it's got kind of dumbed down cameras to some degree, which I don't care about. But otherwise, it's quite good, well specified, like the Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5 and 16 gigs of RAM. And a huge, how they've done this, I don't know, 7,500 milliamp hour battery inside with
carbon.
Yeah, I guess so. But also 100 watt wire charging, 50 watt wireless charging as well. And it just looks like it's got everything. Well, as I say, apart from those that want to push the boundary in terms of cameras. But it looks like a lovely little device. Very cute.
Yeah, I want one. I want one. I really like that green as well, Ted.
Joe, what phone don't you want?
Oh, that's true, yeah. iPhones, I guess.
It's like, what phones don't we want? It's a very small list.
Do you know what, I love the comment on the bottom here, Ted. See, 6.3 is compact. That's the shirt sign of the times, isn't it? Yes, it is indeed a compact phone nowadays.
6.32. So many devices are, well, this signature is now up to 6.8 inches, so there is that. Let's leap out of the news for a second, and we'll come back to it later and talk about Mark and your what you're using and what you're up to, and, fill us in.
Still buying too many phones and bits of tech. It's like I said last time I was with you and Steve, it's like I've still got the addiction and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
No.
So at the moment I've gone back to the iPhone Air. I keep trying to come away from it, go back to Android, but the iPhone just keeps pulling me back. It's a nice bit of kit. But yeah, I bought the Moto Edge 70. Bought that a few weeks ago.
Cool.
And I wanted to use it as my primary phone, and it has its issues. I don't know if it's the processor, but a few of the apps keep forgetting that I've already logged in. And it's like, log in again. It's like, I've done this already. Why are you asking me to log in again? It's driving me nuts. So it's a love. The screen's lovely. It feels nice. It's light. Love the phone. But there's little things it doesn't do up to my expectations. I don't know if it's because it's using a Dimensity chipset. Because it's the first phone I think I've had with a Dimensity, and it's it's connecting to Wi-Fi is also a bit of an issue with it as well.
Really?
I've got 6E Wi-Fi 6E, and everything else connects to it fine, but the Moto seems to struggle.
This is the Edge 70.
Edge 70, yeah.
So not the 70. Right, let's get the specifications up.
And it's interesting.
It's the
7
series it uses.
That is at odds to what I've heard from other people, actually. So, yeah, I'm interested to hear more.
When I turn the Wi-Fi off, it's flawless. It runs really, really well.
It's saying here Snapdragon 7 Gen 4.
Is it?
Apparently. If it's the baseline 70. And I think the baseline 70 is all there is at the moment, isn't there? The Fusion is not out yet. So the baseline 70, it must be, mustn't it? That's all you could have.
Yeah, the thin one, isn't it?
That'll be the one, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I swear I read somewhere that had a Dimensity chipset in it.
Right.
You're right, Snapdragon 7 Gen 4. I take it back.
Okay. But the Snapdragon 7 is clearly, last year's tech or even the years before, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not up to date.
But yeah, when you switch Wi-Fi off, it's a different beast. It's fine with Wi-Fi off, and all the apps open fine, and it doesn't hiccup. But I'm finding I'm having to force close some of the apps to reopen them if it's on Wi-Fi to actually get it to do its job.
That sounds like there's something wrong with it to me.
Yeah, it could well be.
It does sound like a dud.
I've read really good reviews on it, and I was quite looking forward to it. And when it's working well, it's working really well. It's a bit of a beast. So
if that was mine, I'd factory reset it, Mark. I really would, because that sounds like it's something wrong with it. It arrived on Android 16 apparently, so it could be some bugs with Android 16, I suppose, which have been reported.
Yeah, might have to thought scrub it off and start again.
It's got a 4,800 milliamp hour battery and wireless charging, and it's a silicon carbon battery as well. So, did you find that the battery was lasting okay?
Yeah, do you know what? I didn't have any issues with the battery. It wasn't quite as good as the iPhone Air, but I was getting through a day on it comfortably. It's quite good, but I'm kind of... Sometimes I cheat it because whenever I jump in the car, I chuck it on the wireless charger if it ever stays where it should be. Because as soon as you go around a corner, they always slide off. It's
This is where Steve's MagSafe comes in.
Mm. Yeah, I know,
don't,
right?
Don't encourage him.
MagSafe in the car. Yeah, but the ones I've got built into the car, so it's like a little tray on the centre console.
Mm.
So you just plop it on, but it charges quick. I forgot how quick when they say, yeah, is it 80 watts? It's quite a quick charger. But when you plug it in, it's before you know it, it's like, oh, it's 100% already. Happy days.
So tell us about the iPhone Air, because Joe and I know nothing about Apple, and it seems to us that the iPhone Air has taken a lot of stick around the tech circuit. So
I think it's unjustified. I really do. There's a lot of people that say the battery won't last. It's like I comfortably get a day out of mine, even if I'm going up to London and work. So I'll be on the train, I'll be using Google Maps to navigate when I'm in London. I'll be listening to podcasts all the time I'm up there. So it does get heavy use, and I'll get back, and by the end of the day, sort of 9, 10 o'clock at night, should be down to 20% on a hard day. But normally...
That's not bad, yeah.
But at the moment, it hasn't been charged. I'm down to 48%, and that come off this morning at 6 o'clock.
So I'm down to... I mean, the only thing that annoys me is the speaker situation on that.
The speaker sounds good, but it's one speaker, so it's modern.
Yeah,
but
that's
more
the problem
often than
for me.
Not, I've got AirPods in, so it's really not an issue. Because I say, yeah, the single speaker's a bit of a drawback. The single camera's a drawback. I do miss the wide angle. That's the only thing I do miss. Telephoto, I've got legs. I'll use them. I'll walk a bit closer. But if I'm back up against something, I can't move back further. So it's
or you can crop in.
Well, this is it. But yeah, do you know what? I've had some cracking photos out of it. It's like I say, I'll keep coming back to it, and it's... It's cheesy to say, but it's like a piece of jewellery. I love it. It's a good bit of kit.
Well, it is a beautiful device, yeah.
The other nice thing is it kind of sits between the smaller iPhone and the Max. I think it's a 6.5 inch. It sits mid-spec. Mm-hmm. So it's not too small. It's not too big. It's that Goldilocks zone.
Essentially replaced the Plus, didn't it, in the proposition from Apple. It sits there. Yeah.
But I'll be upset if I don't bring another one out. It's because I can't fault it.
I don't think they will this year. I think they might in the future, maybe. But I mean, they deliberately didn't call it the 17 Air. They called it the Air.
It's
so I think it's going
to, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's going to sit there for this year as well. There's no rumours that I've seen.
Yeah, I think if they put a silicon carbon battery in it, I think that would shut a lot of people up. But the battery that's got in it, I've seriously had no issues with it. It gives me a day, no problem at all. And I recently got rid of the Galaxy S25 Edge as well, because I had that. They could cram a wide angle on the back of that, so why can't Apple do it?
Yeah.
What about the software compared to the Motorola, say, compared to Android?
Oh, yeah, I'll go between it. It's weird because for business, I prefer Android because I run my own business. And I think Android just suits my workflow better for the business side of it. Emails, for instance, I cannot get my company email to push to the iPhone for love nor money. It's crazy.
Right.
And sometimes I miss out on work because I'll be emailed and it'll wait 10, 20 minutes before the email delivers, whereas Android, it's there straight away.
Right.
But yeah.
I think that does depend on the OEM, and you've got to be very careful with notifications these days, particularly with Far East phones. I noticed that the Honor was delaying notifications, and people complain about the BBK group phones doing that as well. But if you know what you're doing, you can get around it. You can dig into menus and sort it out. But most people don't, of course.
So, you know, the way around it was I've got a second email client for my business. So I've got a second email client, which doesn't hang about. It delivers straight away.
Yeah. I think when you're pulling through different servers, so like if you're using the iPhone email app.
Yeah, that's the one I tend to use.
Yeah, I always have customers that have issues with that. And I tell them, if you've got Gmail, do it through the Gmail app. Or if you've got Hotmail, do it through Outlook. Go direct. And you get better results. I think that could be said through, like, when you try and pull a different email through Gmail, for example, it can have problems sometimes.
Yeah, it's what I use for work there, is Edison Mail. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, not heard of that one.
It's quite annoying. They want you to pay to upgrade to unlock all the bits and pieces, but the Edison Mail client that I'm using, it's really quick, it's really good, it's well worth a look at.
So there's an app wrap there.
So on the whole, are you on your iPhone? Are you using Google services like a lot of Apple users do, or are you trying to stick with Apple's and other ones?
Google, but I'll be honest, I use a lot of Microsoft stuff. I use Outlook, OneDrive, OneNote. Right. So I use a lot of that, but I use Google Maps rather than Apple Maps because I just prefer Google Maps. Predominantly. It's Outlook of the Microsoft stuff I'm using on the iPhone.
Right, that's interesting.
The other plus side to that is I can use that on Android and iPhone. So whatever I want to use, it's like, there you go.
And Windows.
Exactly. I've got that's what I use for work as well. I was on the fence about ordering the new MacBook Neo. I was like, do I? It'd be nice to go with my iPhone. And I think, no, you don't need to. You've just bought another Windows laptop for work. Behave yourself.
Yeah. What about you mentioned a Samsung in the mix there. Did you say the S25 Ultra?
No, the S25 Edge.
Okay. So that one is not one of the ones they've abandoned. So they're going to keep making that, I think, aren't they?
It was a nice phone, but it didn't last anywhere near as long as the Motorola Edge 70.
Right.
Or the iPhone Air. It just couldn't do it. But then I had one of the original, either original skinny Moto. Was it the Moto Z back in the day?
Attachment. 5.2 millimetres fat, that was.
Yeah, because I remember that being stupidly skinny. And it's even skinnier than the phones now.
Absolutely. There's no one that's done a 5.2 millimeter phone yet, apart from Moto Z. And I was, maybe it was before you joined PSC generally, but I was a huge fan of the Moto Mods and I loved them. And I just wish that they carried on with that. There is this thing was announced at MWC, wasn't there, coming out of China. Is it Tecno that are making it? I think it was Tecno or Tenco. No, I think it was Tecno with this real modular phone coming out. It's not quite the same, but it's at least it is modular.
Is that modular in respect to pieces that you can bolt onto it, or repairability wise?
Both. You can build it. You can build what you like on it. It was a bit of a concept, I think. I'm not convinced that it's actually going to be in production. Certainly not anytime soon. But it looked really interesting, and I might be up for that. In terms of toy factor. So I've just looked up the S25 Edge. Specifications 5.8 millimeter thick, so it's still pretty thin, isn't it? Blimey!
Oh yeah.
And of course, you've got the 7 upgrades with that, which is the first time that Moto have done that with the Signature, which we'll come to later. Not a very big battery, but then I suppose with a thin body like that, you'd expect not to. But the battery Samsung get it in the neck with the battery, don't they? Because they're not jumping into silicon carbon, and the charging speeds are slow, and the wireless is slow, and blah blah blah.
I think it's the Note 5. They've put the brakes on tampering with batteries, haven't they? Was it the Note 5?
Was it the 7, wasn't it?
Was it the 7? Yeah. One of them, yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame, really. But, yeah, you liked the Edge, did you? Apart from its...
Yeah, do you know what? It's actually a really good phone. The only downside is the short corners are a bit sharp. Yeah, they didn't show for it. With the iPhone, it's right. Kind of curved on the edges.
Yeah.
With the S25 Edge, it's more of a sharp corner. And it's, I think the S25 Ultra had the same problem. The corners were quite sharp, so it was very rectangular when you look at the front of it.
That really makes a difference. It's subtle, but it makes a real difference. I was saying this to Joe about my Honor 400 Pro, compared to the Magic 8 or 7 or whatever. And it's just really subtle, but it makes a huge difference in the hand, I think. Slightly curved.
Yeah, that's all it takes. A little tweak here and there, and it's amazing.
Cool. Right, okay, then let's jump back to the news then. Poco X8 Pro and X8 Pro Max have launched, and they have launched because they're almost on day one. They're discounted. They're all over Amazon UK. you can buy them in sales before they've even got to the shops.
£269 at the moment, Ted.
exactly. And the Pro Max is only about £349, isn't it? They've all been reduced down anyway. But if for people that can live with the Xiaomi software, with the Hyper OS 3, I think it is now, it's a compelling argument, isn't it? They've got so much. If you look through the specs on them, they're amazing value for money, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Crazy value.
So 6.59 is the little one, and 6.83 is the big one. So the big one is the same size as the signature, the Motorola signature.
£359 on Amazon at the moment.
359. Yeah.
Huge batteries on both of them as well.
Yeah. That's right.
8500 milliamp hour.
It's just nutty, isn't it?
And well, the EU put in a restriction on battery sizes, though.
Yeah, they tried, but Motorola ignored them.
Yeah, why wouldn't they?
And I think people are kind of finding ways around it, and they're navigating the circuit to try. We had a thing on this, didn't we, Joe, on a few shows back to try and understand it a bit.
Yeah, I should try and look into this a little bit more because it's a bit confusing people are getting away with and what people aren't. It is.
So, those are the new Poco devices, and they look staggeringly good value, amazingly good value, and they've got to be on people's shortlists if you're looking for a mid-tier device, which is actually functioning more like a flagship device in many ways. So there's that. The other bit of news we had here was that the Oppo Find N6 went official. That bit of news is a bit old now because it's been out for ages, but it's been released in China, but the news was that the global launch has been announced as well, and they reckon that it's a creaseless display. Now, I watched a YouTube video the other day with someone who got one of these in China, and he was showing the screen, and it was really, really, really impressive compared to anything else. But he showed definitely you can still see it. If you run your finger over it, you can still feel it. But he said that it's a bit of a con for them to try and claim that it's creaseless. Any thoughts?
I think just the nature of the beast, you're going to have a crease in it. You look at anything that you fold that often, there's going to be a mark. It's going to be a crease.
Even an Apple?
Yeah, I think Apple will be very much the same.
Do you?
I suspect, yeah. Because it's a Samsung screen, isn't it, that Apple are going to be rumoured to be using. What's the screen on this N6? I'm wondering.
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. I'll try and find out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, the fact that they've got it to where they've got it is really impressive, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, when you think, if you go back a few years, the creases were quite like the original OnePlus Open. And although the crease was deep in that, it never used to bother me.
No.
It's a beautiful screen, and if you're looking at it straight on, you never saw the crease.
No,
I do agree.
You're
just running your finger over it, it's fine.
I do agree.
And I think it's amazing that, as standard, the foldable devices have IP rating now. This one's got IP 56, 58, and 59. It's really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take it near water or sand, though. Still wouldn't trust it.
The V6 coming from Honor, they showed it folding it open and closed in water.
Oh, really?
Has IP 68 and 69K rating.
Yeah,
really
madness.
Yeah, and talking of folding, there was a story kicking about that said that the Galaxy Z Trifold had been immediately discontinued, which it appears to be true. They've stopped that, but only because they've announced a new generation of folding devices. Now, I'm not particularly up on this bit of news. I was meaning to look it up before we started recording, but I forgot. And so if anyone else knows the details of that, do they?
I heard they'd cancelled it. I didn't know they were looking at replacing it with a new model.
Right, okay. I think a new range of models, not just one. I think, anyway, we'll leave that until the next show and try and do a bit of homework on that. So sorry to do that to you, dear listener, teasing you like that.
I suggest it was like a... suggest it was like a concept, proof of concept at first to see how it would land with people. That's how it feels if they're discontinuing already and bringing out new ones.
I did hear someone say that it was just proof of concept to prove they could do it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Especially with Apple bringing out a fold, they're probably thinking, well, we can do trifold.
Yeah, we go one better.
But it does look, with the 8 wide coming, that it's going to be the year of the wide. The year of the wide that Pixel Fold did in the first place, and everyone else is now going to do the Pixel Fold in passport style, and Apple will claim that they invented it, of course. But
I think the passport side, I've still got my Surface Duo 2, and I'll pull that out occasionally. I think that's just the perfect form factor. I love that form factor.
The trouble with the Surface Duo, I think, Mark, is that it hasn't got a screen on the outside.
I've got no friends.
And if it had a screen on the outside, I'd have been all over it, I think, much more than I am already. I've got a Surface Duo 2 here as well, but it doesn't fold back on itself. Now, the original Surface Duo folded back on itself. You could give it a front screen if you wanted to, but the two you can't because the camera lumps in the way.
But the main reason I went from the original to the second one was NFC. Because the original one didn't have NFC, did it?
Yeah, sure. And some other things with the cameras and with the speakers were much better as well. But I don't use mine. I'm waiting for it for the value to go up, then flog it for 2,000 quid.
So. yeah, you might get lucky.
I keep charging it. Sorry, Joe, what were you going to say earlier?
I was going to ask Mark, because the question, it seems pretty obvious, but do you favour thinner devices then?
I prefer the feel of the thinner devices in the hand, definitely. So it's because a lot of the devices I've had, even like the Duo 2, that's wafer thin when it's open. But yeah, I do prefer the thinner, lighter. I don't want to, because obviously screens are getting bigger, they're getting heavier. And when you pick the iPhone Air up now, or the S25 Edge, or even the Moto Edge 70, they are so light. And I just prefer that way. I just prefer that now. That proof batteries can last. Well, they don't last for me.
I mean, the reports are from all of them that they're doing quite well with battery. I was going to say, Tecno do one, which is like a mid-range device. So it's lower-end chipset. It came out last year in September. It's worth checking out. It looks a bit like the iPhone Air. I think some places it's called the Spark Slim. Some people it's just called Tecno Slim.
Yeah.
One to look up. if you want a new toy, because it'd be cheaper, I think, as well.
Now, tell me, Joe, Mark, we're going to move into Motorola territory now, so feel free to stick around, but if you want to shoot off, then feel free as well. But Motorola Signature, Joe, how are you getting on with your review?
Yeah, so it's been another week. Obviously, I've got to get my review done this week because I've got to give it back. But I'm always positive, right? I always say about the things I like. So I've actually written down some of the things I dislike. I'm not finding much, though, to be honest. But here's my little rundown of some fairly minor stuff. It's a little bit too wide and tall for me. This is more a me problem because of my small hands. But having said that, I've got used to big phones, so... I'd complain either way, I think. Right. So that's a minor thing. I think you agree with that.
I do tend to agree with that. It is a big phone, but I'm persevering with mine because of all the benefits, which we'll come to.
Yeah, there's plenty of them as well, yeah. It's thin and super light, which is a good thing, but it also means it's easily dropped because it hardly feels there, does it? That teamed up with the fact that it's a little bit slippery. We've both agreed on that, even with the case. Maybe the case is worse.
Yeah, the case, because it's hard, makes it even more slippery to some degree. I was thinking about trying to stick something on the back of the case to make it... a bit less so, but I haven't quite got to what yet. I can't find a simple TPU for it. And even if I did find a simple TPU, I really like the way that this one cuts out all the ports and the buttons and everything. And it worked. The case, apart from being slippery, worked really, really well. So I'm reluctant anyway.
Well, I've said that I haven't dropped it yet. So, but I can imagine my wife would drop it a lot.
But
I've been all right with it, but mm-hmm. It could be a problem for some people. I really do like the subtle curves on the screen, but I do sometimes have accidental touches as a result of it, though.
Do you?
And like sometimes the screen isn't responding and I'm a bit slow, so I'm like, oh no, is it frozen? Then I realize it's an accidental touch, touching it on one of the sides.
That's not happened to me at all. I wonder why.
Is it not? No. Mm. Maybe it's just a me problem again, the way I handle it. Mm. It's not a major thing because it's not an issue so much.
Is it trying to use it one-handed, perhaps?
Probably. Okay. But what I'd say, I find the positives outweigh that with the curved screen. So although I'm saying it's a bit of a slight issue with accidental touches, I do like it. It's great. I do see a colour shift across lenses, and even sometimes with the same lens. It's most notably with blues and greens. This is quite common with a lot of phones, though. Having said that, I do like Moto processing still. I just can imagine it won't appeal to purists. It's a little pixel-esque, if you like, the way it processes images.
Okay.
So like you take the shot, and then a couple of seconds later, it then does the processing. And you can see a big difference. Mm. I like the results, but yeah, I can imagine purists wouldn't. Have you played with the camera much yet, Ted?
I was just thinking that's what the Honor 400 Pro does when you're doing the kind of super zoom thing, and you're kind of sitting there waiting for it to process it. I suppose it's the same thing, is it?
Yeah, it's not too long, but it's just you can notice it. The battery is good. I don't have an issue with it, but I would definitely take a slightly thicker device with a bigger battery. I think it'd be a good compromise.
I agree.
Which has to make a signature too. I mean, the battery does get me through a day easily, even with some heavy use, to be honest. It's good, but I would still like that a little bit more.
Yes.
And the last one is I've got to give it back.
Yeah, I was fortunate in being able to secure a second-hand one from our lovely classifieds group, and I was very pleased to get that, and a good price and a very friendly price for me from Chris Bates. So thank you again, Chris. And I was able to get it in and do a review, which I'll link to in the show notes. And I was very, very impressed. It feels like it's the first Motorola flagship phone since the Edge 50 Ultra, which I never had hands-on with, incidentally. That came out at 1,049 quid on release. This has come out at 899, which is better. And I do think that in most ways, the Signature is better than the Edge 50 Ultra, which you'd expect being 2 years further down the line. But there's quite a lot of crossover. You know, it's not hugely different in some ways. And, you know, one of the things that it hasn't got is that wooden back, the wooden back that we saw on the Razor.
Yeah, I'd love that on a Signature. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The Edge 50 Ultra had that wooden back, and it was really nice. As I say, I didn't have one in my hand, but it looked really nice. And the IP rating has been updated to include 6.9 and the military standard. So all of the Motorola phones now seem to have the military standard certification. And I think all of them now are getting IP69 as well. So they've gone overboard on that. It's got an LTPO screen, which the Edge 50 Ultra did not have. And so that means it's got a proper always-on display, which is really good, and I'm very impressed. It's got a brighter... Well, technically it's got a brighter display. I don't know what you think, Joe, but it's supposed to be 6,200 nits in peak on auto out in the sunshine, I suppose. But I've tested it and retested it, and it doesn't feel as though it's quite performing as brightly as it should be. Any thoughts on that?
It's interesting you say that, because I was at the zoo yesterday and the sun was out, and I was thinking as well, it's not getting as bright as I was expecting it to. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but yeah, it wasn't really getting as bright as I hoped.
Right.
When you see 6,500 nits, you expect a bit more, but these peak brightnesses, I do wonder how great they are.
I mean, it's all right. It's fine for me, because I'm a bit of a hermit, and I don't go out an awful lot like you do. But I think for most people, particularly if you live in a hot country with lots of sun, it could be a bit of a deal breaker to some degree. Okay, so Android 16 to 23, hurrah! The first phone ever that Motorola has produced with seven OS updates and 7 years of security, so good for you. The Snapdragon 8 Gen 5, the UFS 4.1 for transferring to the storage and so forth. We'll come back to the cameras in a minute. You can take over. Stereo speakers, I've said, are really, really good. The sound is tweaked by Bose, whatever effect that has, but I do think that they are really, really good. I'm very, very impressed. And the last thing that I wanted to say really was that it's got an ultrasonic fingerprint scanner. Again, I do believe this is an absolute first for Motorola. I cannot think of any other Motorola phone before this one that's had ultrasonic fingerprint scanner, and it works just as well as the Samsung ones, which is praise indeed. So it's okay. Silicon carbon battery, 5,200, which, as you say, it could have been bigger. It really could have been bigger, and that would have been nice. 90-watt wired charging, which is a drop, actually, from the Edge 50 Ultra, which was 125. But it's still, I mean, 90 is perfectly good, I think, for most people. And some new colours. So did you want to say anything about the cameras? It's got a 3x periscope zoom, hasn't it?
Yeah, the telephoto is very nice, especially optical, 3x optical, in good light. I haven't tested low light enough yet. That's something I need to get on with. But yeah, there's some really nice results. I've been really impressed with it so far. Even at 6 and 10x, decent results as well. I think it really is a true flagship, as you say. Like, when you run down the specs and... that fingerprint scanner is rapid, just like any high-end device I've ever tested. My benchmark is the Honor Magic 8 Pro, and that's rapid, and it's just like that. And going back to the screen, it was quite interesting. One of my team, he's an iPhone user. And actually, this goes for any Moto we've had in store. We've got the Edge 60 there. He loves how smooth the screen is. And it really is very fluid. He's always impressed. And it was interesting to see from an iPhone user as well.
I've got mine switched down to 60 hertz.
And I
still think it's perfectly good for me. But, yes, it is very fluid. You're right.
Yeah, that's that 8 Gen 5. 8 Elite Gen 5, isn't it, in there? And their software's, it's very basic, pixel-esque, but I think that's a good thing. It's very clean, isn't it? Very easy to use. With the cameras, the main lens is beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm.
I find the ultra-wide a little bit distorted, but that can be quite fun.
Because
it is very wide, very, very wide. I was going to look, the actual size of the sensor is bigger than I thought.
All right.
When I looked last time, I was going to quickly get the specs on the screen.
Okay, while you're doing that, I'll just say that the autofocus in the wide-angle lens is not as good as I think that previous models were for macro, for taking up close-ups. I do think that I've tested this. You've taken a close-up with the autofocus lens and then switched it to the zoom lens, and I tried it on 3 and 6 and 2 and 1, and I think that at 3 times zoom, the close focus you can get is better than the wide angle autofocus. So, you know, that's interesting, given that they're both 50 megapixel count on the sensor. The zoom is taken over that role, it would seem.
Yeah, I always say this, if there's a dedicated telephoto, telemacro is always better for me. Even if, because ultra wide as well, you have to go quite close and then you're taking away some of the light,
so yep.
That destroys the image a little bit. So yeah, I'm definitely all about telephoto macros.
Did you play with Smart Connect while you're still looking up your data?
Do you know what, I still haven't. Said ages ago I was going to, and I'm a terrible motivator.
Did you, Mark? When you had your Edge, did you turn Smart Connect on and do anything with it, or did you just not know it was there?
No, I'll be honest. I probably did realise it was there, but I just thought, nope, it's more bloatware they've put in there. This is boring. I get so caught up with how I use my phones day to day. When there's new stuff that they can do, I tend not to use it, which is crazy.
Yeah. I find that with the Moto AI to some degree, the update me thing, which I just never use that. And when I get a message in, I know it's coming in because I see it. I suppose if you went into a meeting or something and you had loads of text messages or whatever, and or phone calls, that update me would come into its own. But I never use that. Do you use that, Joe?
Yeah, no. Yeah. The update me, I'm not a fan, to be honest.
Sorry, go on.
I managed to get the notifications back on my watch by pressing update me.
Yeah.
And strangely, after that, they just start coming through.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I can.
So going back to the specs,
you get stuck with the watch, as I said to you before, I can lead you through that. I think I'm an expert on the Moto Watch Fit. but not the new round one. I don't know. I haven't seen that yet.
They need to send us that because I definitely want to play with that. Because I love this Watch Fit, which I'm going to do a review on eventually. Going back to the signature, so talking the flagship specs, the main lens is 1/1.28-inch sensor.
Right.
So I think that's similar to the Pro Max main sensor. Exactly the same size.
Okay.
As the Pro Max main sensor, 1/1.28, exactly the same.
And you're impressed with that?
Yeah, and it's f1.6, 23 millimeter, so it's a bit wider than some others as well, which is a really nice lens, the main, really nice results. The telephoto, as I say, I haven't tested in low light as much, and I've just seen it's a 1/1.95-inch sensor, so it's not quite so big, so that might not be as good in low light. I'd be interesting to test that and see. But I mean, most of the time you're going to use it in good light anyway, aren't you, with periscope, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And the ultra-wide is by far the worst sensor on the phone, which is always the case,
right.
Unless you talk about selfie. It's a 1 over 2.76 inch sensor, so yeah. But you are getting 12 millimetres on that. So...
Oh, Mark's just jumped in to say he's gonna have to make a move. So thanks for popping in, Mark. It's great to chat
with you.
That's
all right, no worries, guys.
Yeah, thanks for popping in, Mark. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, and you, Joe. I'll catch you again on the next one, no doubt.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. All right, cheers.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Go on, Joe. Sorry, you were interrupted there.
I think Mark was getting bored of sensor sizes. So I'll stop with the sensor sizes.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it is a flagship camera system, basically. I think if they made a future one, I'd like to see a bigger sensor on that telephoto, and the ultra-wide being slightly bigger too. And if it was, again, that's where the thickness could come in. Make it a little bit thicker with bigger sensors and a bigger battery.
Yep. What's the projection on your video review? When will we see it?
Well, I need to get the filming done because only this week, don't I? Because I need to send it back on the 27th.
Mm.
The only thing that's going to hinder me is I might try some new editing software, which I'm going to have to learn. So that might slow me down getting it out. I don't know. I'm hoping for next week, start of next week, really.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see.
Right,
let's pull
okay.
my finger out.
Before we move on, I just wanted to mention also the Motorola Edge 60 Neo, which is in hand here, as you know. That was my loaner from Wilkin and Emily at Motorola PR. And I fell so in love with it. I sent them a message, the pair of them, and said, I love this phone so much, I want to keep it. Can I buy it off of you? And they said to me, no, because you're so in love with it, we'll let you keep it, and that's it. So I was very impressed with that. Thank you very much to you, if you're listening, which is highly unlikely, I know. But thank you for that. Because I do like it. I like it an awful lot. And it's almost become my primary phone. If I hadn't got the signature here, you know, I think it would be. It's such a nice little size. I'm really impressed with the small size of it, the size and the weight. And again, it's robust. It's got the military standard, the IP69, the POLED screen is bright and colourful, and it's got the always-on display. It's the best one on any phone, alongside the signature, I have to say. It gets 5 OS updates. It's got loads of storage. This one's 256, but there is a 512 one. Loads of RAM. This one's got 12 gigs. The camera setup for me is perfectly good enough. And it's got a macro setting for close-up photographs for me. The speakers are not as good as the signatures, but you wouldn't expect them to be. But they are better than the previous device that I've got here, which is the Edge 50 Neo. So there's definitely a hike up from the Edge 50 Neo. And they are better, they're louder, they're richer, they're better tuned, probably. The fingerprint scanner is optical, but it is improved over the Neo 50. It's got a big battery. In actual fact, it's the same size battery as the signatures, but you can imagine with a smaller phone and not driving as much stuff as it is, it just lasts forever. And I've been testing the battery on the Neo, the 60 Neo, and it just lasts forever. You can't knock it down. It's like, you know, 2 days of use pretty much. Even for someone that's a bit more demanding than me and out and about more. So there's that. It's got fast wire charging at 68 watts. It's got Qi charging too. As we said when we first got the Edge 50 Neo back in the day, Steve and I, we were just really bowled over by what it provided. And actually the 30 Neo before it, I think Steve and I were talking about that as well, and just again being really impressed with this Neo line that Motorola do. And here I am completely bowled over with it again. And so, yeah, I'm really pleased to be able to keep it, to carry on testing it. And when I get fed up with my SIM card being in the signature because it's too big and I've dropped it, then, you know, I'll definitely be totally happy to have my SIM card and my main device as the 60 Neo. So very, very impressed. Like it a lot. Any thoughts?
Yeah, this really warms my heart, Ted, because you deserve that. If anyone's a real motivator and ambassador for Motorola, it's you. Yeah. And I'm glad they recognise that and given it to you. Because we know how much you loved the 50 Neo as well.
Yeah, definitely. And also, to be fair, most of the Motorola devices I have bought myself. I haven't relied on them to be... sending them through because I'm so much in love with them. I wanted them for myself before that was made available. But the other bit of news was that just yesterday Android 16 arrived on it, the day before yesterday, and I did a little bit of a write-up of that in my blog, so I'll link to that in the show notes again. But I have found no changes, really. I'm really pleased to say that Motorola have largely ignored the Android 16 changes to the OS, like, for example, putting the battery percentage inside the battery icon, which is really, really annoying. I hope you're listening, Nothing Phone. and it just goes to show that these OEMs don't have to do what Google's telling them to do with these OSs. They can change things over the top, and they've kept stuff in the same way as they were. They haven't adopted all the notification shade Material 3 expression and all that stuff. It just, they've gone their own way, and I'm really impressed with that. As you said earlier, it's a vanilla feel, but it feels now as though Pixels and Google are making phones Pixels and Googles, and the likes of Motorola are holding back on those changes, and they're keeping their design language, and I really like that, and I'm really, really impressed with Motorola's. The more time goes on, the more time I spend with Motorola devices, as you said earlier. But yeah, thank you for your accolade. I do really like Motorola phones, and I always have done, really.
Yeah, I mean, they are great. They just do all the basic stuff really well, don't they?
Yeah,
they just exactly. Do it all. I would argue as well that now, software-wise, if someone wants a simple software, the Moto's a better option than Pixel even.
Yeah,
I'd argue. Yeah,
if you don't want to, that what drives me back to Pixels is as soon as they've done an update, I want to be first with whatever they're doing with their update. But yeah. there's no reason why I can't look at that on the phone without putting my SIM card in it. It doesn't have to be my primary phone. I can still look at those things, and that's what I intend to do. And I do think that when the novelty of the signature has kind of worn off a bit, I probably will end up back using the 60 Neo. I'm very, very impressed with it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Great stuff.
Yeah. What else have we got to talk about? Anything looming large? I've still got your Magic 8 Lite here, which is April. April is supposed to be getting Magic OS 10. April. And Android 6, it's the last of the lot. But I will be interested to do some battery testing on that when it comes around.
Yeah, they better come in April, because it's been a while that it's come out, hasn't it? So,
And there was an update just last week for it. You know, they haven't forgotten it. The update was, what was it, January security. So, you know, it's okay. I suppose it's reflective of the price. How much was it? 300 and something?
Yeah, I think it's $399 full price. But you probably get it much cheaper. Most, they always do deals, much like Moto do.
I will turn to it once the Magic OS 10 has arrived. I promise, and I'll give it a run. Unless you need it back before then, but
no, not at all.
We'll go with that. Right.
Actually, I wanted to ask you about how you're getting on with the OnePlus Watch 2.
The OnePlus Watch 2. Oh, it's still in the box. Actually, I did take it out of the box and look at it. But I have just got so many other things going on at the moment that I haven't really looked at it. It's certainly a nice-looking watch. It's very, very smart. It looks like it's made really well. And I do like the button placements on it. That's interesting and a bit different. And it does have a premium feel about it, which is really good. I was quite impressed with the 32 gigabytes of storage, which matches the Galaxy Watch Ultra. And it's got 2 gigs of RAM, which is cool. And what about the military... is this usual for watches? I'm not sure, really. I don't know much about watches. But they've got IP68 and the military standard certification on this watch. Is that unusual?
I don't know.
Okay. 100-hour battery life, presumably meaning 100 hours if you don't use it. Otherwise, yeah. they're kind of saying 48. But even if it's 48, you know, compared to many other Wear OS watches, you know, my Pixel Watch 3 doesn't get 48 hours. So even if you're kind of caning it, getting 48 hours of that will be really good. It's got a Snapdragon W5 Gen 1, which sounds good. Not that I know much about it. You do have to install OHealth on your phone to make most of it. So there is that. But
they all do that, though, don't they?
Yeah, it's
they have their own app.
Yeah, of course. And Motorola do. Good example. So it doesn't match the Samsung's blood pressure measuring, which my Watch Ultra does, but it does have blood oxygen. I think they all do now. I can't see any way to get any music onto it. So that 32 gigs of storage, with the Watch Ultra, you can actually get music onto it. And I don't really know how good the speaker is as well. The advantage of the Watch Ultra is that the speaker on the Samsung Galaxy Watch is really good. Well, you know, for the size of the thing, and I can use it. So that is definitely something I'll be needing to test to see if I can get music onto it. I don't like the strap that comes in the box. It's horrible, but then I don't like straps anyway much. To be fair, it has got the kind of pins so you can replace the strap. And it is quite a big watch. It's not as big as the Watch Ultra, the Galaxy, but it is a big watch. And I think you were saying that suits you. Let me get it. Let me get the box open and remind myself. I think that
I do like the size.
Yeah, I thought you were saying that you like the size of it. And I'm not sure, really. It's quite big. In some ways, it feels bigger. Maybe it's heavier than the... Maybe it's fatter. I don't know. Anyway. But
yeah, the actual Watch 3 is even more fatter, actually.
Is it?
A bit more raised off your wrist, yeah. That's one thing I favoured over the 3, the 2, having slightly smaller form factor. But it is big, yeah.
I do like it, though. Yeah. It's a nice, it's a nice solid-looking watch. I just turned it on. Oh, dear. Maybe...
Oh, matron.
I'll leave that to turn itself on, and now that it's turned on, I might actually get to it quicker and have a look at it. So, but you liked the OnePlus Watch 2, didn't you?
Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I mean, I haven't used it for ages, but I was still reluctant to sell it, and that's what made me think like I need to send this to Ted because I'd like to hear your thoughts. But I think I'm thinking of selling it once you're done with it.
Right.
So that could come on classified in the future.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right. Android 16 arrived on the... I've already told you that, haven't I? So I think we're on to PSC Photo of the Week, which is actually this time the Photo of the Month winner for February 26, which after a very close battle with 3 photographs in the poll on our MeWe group... It just about came to be with a casting vote from me, Cairo Subway by Ahmed Bibars, using a Samsung Galaxy A24. And it's a picture of a guy stood on the other platform across the way, perfectly framed in between two coaches. He says that I stood exactly opposite the bloke on the other platform, adjusted my framing, then waited for the incoming train to slow down. I then mashed the shutter button, so burst mode, until the train almost came to a stop. There's still no guarantee that I would have achieved the shot I wanted, so yes, there was a lot of luck involved to get that frame. No human reflex can time that exact frame with just one click. But I'm very pleased personally with the result, says Ahmed. So well done. It is a very good shot and really interesting and very artistic, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fabulous shot. And I don't think it's lucky. He's made it happen. So he had the vision. He knew what he wanted. So no, it's not luck. You made it happen. Well done. Great shot. Yeah.
And the elements of the frame are really interesting too. So apart from anything else, it's in mono. Or if it's not in mono, it looks like it's in mono. So, you know, there's that as well, which is quite artistic, I think. And also the platform that he stood on, running a tram line along the bottom of the frame, like the bottom, 5 or 10% of the frame is the platform, and that just the elements just all worked together for me. I really liked it, so yeah, that was cool.
Beautifully framed, like lots of lines in there and geometry, which makes it interesting to look at.
Yeah, definitely. Well done, Ahmed. So that will go forward to the Picture of the Year, Photo of the Year competition. The other two, which were the very close runners-up, were Another Planet by Matt Steele, which he took with an Apple iPhone 17 Pro Max, and County Antrim Hills, which Gerard McAvoy shot with an Apple iPhone 17 Pro. And that one, I mean, they're both very good shots, obviously, but the one of the County Antrim Hills, that's almost kind of spooky, isn't it? That with the way the kind of cloud or the mist is rising off the hills, and the textures and the muted colours, that was a really interesting shot, I thought.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, to be honest, you could pick them. If any of their shots that were up for Photo of the Month could have been the winner. It was a really, really, probably the most solid lineup we've had for Photo of the Month, I'd say. Mm-hmm. As mentioned last show, so bravo, like the community really have nailed it down. Some amazing shots. It's almost a shame though, because they're all so good that only one goes through to the final.
I can't remember the story behind the Another Planet one. I think he did explain what was going on there. It's like a it looks like a planet floating on the horizon.
Reflection as well.
but I don't know whether it's one of these round rainbows or something. I can't remember. Anyway, that's in the Mevi group for anyone that wants to look. So the classifieds, I did pick out one thing in the classifieds. Incidentally, if anyone wants to join the classifieds, it's a closed members-only group, and you'll have to email me to talk about that. But I did pick out one thing. Kevin Jewison's OnePlus 13, an ocean blue, 512, 16-gigabyte version, which he bought personally from Amazon UK. In pristine condition, boxed, cased. It does look really nice, and £495, which might sound a little bit expensive, but actually when it's in that kind of condition and you know it's been brought by the person themselves and they've looked after it, I think it's worth paying a bit more to get something really solid and good. So that would be my pick.
I think that's a really good pick, Ted. That finish is really nice on that device as well. It's like a faux leather feel, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a gorgeous device, especially them specs. I love OnePlus 13.
Did you go?
I've gone for a Pixel, actually. I'm surprised you didn't. Actually, I know why you didn't, because it's only 128 gig. But Ashok Parturi's Pixel 10 in Indigo for £375. It's a good buy, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the little Pixel 10, the small Pixel 10. Yeah, that is certainly a good price, absolutely. Indigo, is that the blue one? No.
Yeah.
I do like that blue colour, really nice.
I do.
I've always fancied a phone in that colour. I quite fancy the Nothing phone in that blue colour, but I don't think they previously released it in the UK. This new one, the 4A, I think they are going to release it in blue, but yeah, very, very nice indeed. Right,
well,
okay.
Ted, I'm hearing good things about the Pro, you know.
Are you?
So far, yeah. So I do want to test that out. Mm-hmm. I reached out to them and they didn't reply, so...
Well...
Ooh.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about the Nothing Phone 4A series is that neither of them have got wireless charging. And to me, that knocks it on the head. You know, when the Edge 60 Neo, the Edge 50 Neo, the Edge 30 Neo... all have wire. I mean, how much does it cost to put a wireless... we've had this discussion before. It must be a couple of dollars to put it on the parts list, surely. And I just don't get why they don't do it.
The only thing I can think of is they wanted to keep the phone free as the flagship with all the...
Yeah. All
the specs. That's anything I can think of, really.
But there's enough about the 3 that is different to the 4A range that would keep it flagship without just not having a Qi coil in it. Anyway, as I say, who am I to complain? right, okay, I think we're done now. Thanks very much to Mark Surrey for popping in. That was great to chat with him. Unexpected and good stuff. We'll come back with another one of these open door shows, no doubt, at some point in the future. So watch out for that. In the meantime, phonesshowchat.uk is our website. That's where you'll find links to all the stuff we're going to be talking about, or we have been talking about, rather, on this very show. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon, and if you want to buy Joe one, it's paypal.me/Hickey85, and we would both be very grateful. MeWe Group is where it all happens. Podhub UK is where you'll find all the links to everything, and they're also at TedSalmon.com. The all the other podcasts we do and all the other MeWe groups, they're all linked down from there. So TedSalmon.com or Podhub UK, and you'll find your way there. Next week, as I said at the start, it's Steve Nutt who's going to join us, and he always is a popular guest on the show, and so we shall be expecting that to be a good one next Monday, the 30th of March, so watch out for that one. Any last thoughts from you, or are you ready for a beer?
I just wanted to say thanks to Mark, sorry for jumping in. It's very nice of him to come in, so we weren't Billy No Mates. and I'm really looking forward to next week, actually, because I've always enjoyed listening to Steve Nutt. So, yeah, it's always a good conversation.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks very much for listening, everyone. And hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back with you next week.